If you go right for the pain, you end up developing superpowers. For those that never sing, but die with their music in them, don't die with your music in you. Bring it on all day. Hello, hello. Welcome to Improve This, powered by Lock and Ladder. I'm John Strand, and we are going to talk about breaking out of your comfort zone. This is so important. It's so easy to get stuck in a rut and do the safe thing, even when deep down we know we should do something else, and we should take some risk, and we should become more than we currently are. And so we're going to dive in. We're going to look at a book that's got some great examples as well as some real world examples. Hope you find it encouraging. First item of business today is, if you're taking notes, don't use your pen. Use these pens. Got the Lock and Ladder pens. Finally, they're nice, gel, soft touch. They write beautifully. And you can scroll with it on your iPad. No, take like 10. I'm going to title the name of this meeting, Don't Die With Your Music In You. I'm going to go heavy off the first chapter of this book. Anybody listening, highly recommend. It's by Phil Stutzen, Barry Michaels, The Tools. Grab this book. I'm 54 pages in. It's awesome. It's awesome. And what's interesting is it's putting words to things that I've already experienced to be true in my own life. And so I'm reading it going, yep, yep, yep. And then I'm also reading it going, ooh, I'm deficient here. Ooh, I could do this better. And then I really like that they're giving you specific tools to move forward. The comfort zone is one of the first things they talk about. And we're going to talk about what that is and how to get out of our comfort zones. The comfort zone is probably one of the biggest barriers to growth, one of the biggest barriers to getting you to where you want to be. And what the comfort zone essentially is, it's that safe and familiar place that you go to where you're free from pain, where you try to avoid pain. It's a nice, safe bubble. It's cozy, it's familiar, it's warm. It feels nice, it doesn't hurt. And there's two problems with the comfort zone and staying inside of your comfort zone. We all have comfort zones, right? We all have that place where we are, it's neutral and we kind of retreat to that place. The problem, number one, is it's not enough just to avoid pain. We actually try to replace the pain with pleasure as humans. There's a lot of studies that have been done on this. They talk about this in the book, but the obvious ones are internet surfing, drugs, alcohol, porn, comfort food, aptly named. And we try to live in this bubble where we're not getting hurt, we're avoiding our fears, and we're getting pleasure at the same time. And the problem is, there is a huge price that you pay for that. Huge price that you pay. One, it keeps you from being fully alive. It keeps you from discovering your fullest self. It keeps you from discovering your fullest sense of purpose. And what happens is you stay trapped in a small world. And I love, they've got like these little pictures in the book. Here's your comfort zone in this loop of avoidance, almost like you're in this little womb. You're safe in the womb. You know, it feels good. You're not exposed to all the pain in the world, right? But what happens is that's a small, tight, constrictive space, and you will not grow. You will not experience the world. And they've got this wall, you see pain that's putting you back on this avoidance loop, right? Back to the comfort zone. You don't want to hit that pain, but on the other side of the pain are endless possibilities. And this is why we wrote into the brand manifesto that we detest complacency, because that complacency is part of the comfort zone. And you don't get to discover the joy of the endless possibilities of when you break through that wall of pain. This is why I love that there's that one group, I forget their name, is it Yes Theory? They have that motto, seek discomfort. So Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote a poem called The Voiceless. Alas, for those that never sing, but die with their music in them. Don't die with your music in you. Don't waste your life. And if you live in the comfort zone, there's a great poem about this that, who wrote it? It was a New York poet. It's this beautiful, he's describing the sunsets and he's in a hammock and enjoying just describing all these physical comforts. And then on a dime, the very last line of the poem, he goes, "I've wasted my life." And you're just like, whoa, whoa, you know? And I'm not saying definitely enjoy the hammock and the comforts and all the things, but not so much that that's where you stay trapped, not so much that it puts you in a small world. And here's what happens. It's a very natural phenomenon. As humans, we want to avoid pain, right? Like, pain sucks. It's not fun. It feels bad. It feels horrible, actually. So you naturally want to avoid that. And I'm talking about physical pain or emotional pain, the pain of getting rejected, the pain of having someone be mean to you, the pain of real loss, right? Like, all the different types of pain. So basically, in our avoidance, what happens is we don't discover our truest sense of purpose. What has to happen is you have to go for the pain. If you go right for the pain, you end up developing superpowers. They talk about this phenomenon where when you move towards pain, pain shrinks. When you move towards fear, it shrinks. When you move away from it, it grows like a monster and chases you and gets big. And there's a lot of people, we don't have to look too far, that are proving this point. And I love that. I feel like nationally, internationally, you're seeing kind of this movement of people that are all across the world breaking through these pain barriers. And some of the extreme examples would be like David Goggins. And I'm not saying you need to be David Goggins, but I am saying you need to go right for the pain. You need to identify that pain and go right at it. Because when you go at it, you can break through the other side and start to discover what those endless possibilities look like for you. Goggins says, "Pain unlocks a secret doorway in the mind, one that leads to both peak performance and beautiful silence." Pain unlocks a secret doorway in the mind, one that leads to both peak performance and beautiful silence. He also says, "Denial is the ultimate comfort zone. The only way I become successful is going towards the truth." Denial is the ultimate comfort zone. The only way I become successful is going towards the truth. Wim Hof talks about this, the Iceman. "If we always choose comfort, we never learn the deepest capabilities of our mind and body. If we always choose comfort, we never learn the deepest capabilities of our mind and body." And I love how he uses the cold. The cold is just such an uncomfortable, painful event that I've experienced will change you. So, A, there's a lot of medical benefits from taking cold showers, and you hijack your vascular system, and there's a lot of medical benefits that are known from doing cold plunges and, you know, lower heart disease and better blood flow and better mindset, you know, better body chemistry. But I take cold showers. If I take 5 showers in a week, 4 of them are ice cold, sometimes 5. I just jump right in. And I have that Navy SEAL mantra at the back of my head. I'm like, we don't do it if it doesn't suck, right? And then I'm just, and I have to give myself a little pep talk, and then I just flip on the cold and just jump right in. I run towards the pain. I don't try to ease in or stick my hand in or my toes, right? And I've had friends that are like, "You're freaking crazy, man. How do you do that? Like, I can't imagine doing that." And Wim Hof, he says, you know, like, ease in, take your warm shower, then just try to get 15 seconds and then try to get 30 seconds. But one of the things I do, and this book reaffirmed it, and I got so excited, so I jump in and I just start lying to myself. I'm like, "Yes, I love it, it hurts, yes, it feels so good." And I start doing that, and then it actually started, somewhere along the line, it started to feel good. And I started doing it in Sweden because I knew it would give me an edge, so every morning I just forced myself to just do that, and you would feel a body buzz down your legs like the whole morning, and I was just bam, fully alive, fully awake, fully alert. And for when we were filming the show, I needed that level of vigor and energy. And then I kept doing it, one, because it teaches me, for sure, I agree the cold is a teacher, you know, and it teaches me I can withstand more than I think I can, right? I've given myself brain freezes in the shower. I quickly pull out of that, right? I'm not masochistic about it. And the book differentiates masochistic pain, which actually traps you and becomes its own comfort zone, sort of weird, twisted thing. This is not that when we say seek discomfort or seek pain or move towards the pain. This is moving into pain, towards it, through it, past it, in a way that advances you as a human. And the cold is a bit of a teacher in the sense that I know if I can endure that, I can endure other things. And it just adds a tiny layer of resilience to me. And that's part of what pain does, is as you experience pain and then move through, you learn something about yourself. You learn, oh, I actually could handle that. So when I was a kid, this is one nice thing about my dad being a pastor and being on missions trips all the time was they talked about your comfort zone all the time. And they said, you got to break through your comfort zone. You got to get outside your comfort zone. I remember that phrase over and over and over again. And we had to do it because we would do these missions trips and we would go to countries where it's 100 degrees outside with 110 heat index and you're outside for 12 hours sweating all day. I remember we did one where, of course, you're on a shoestring budget and we were, I forget which city we were in, we were doing outreach there and ham and cheese sandwiches for a month. Just straight month of ham and cheese. And I remember thinking, I made a ham and cheese on Sunday and I was eating it going, I swore these off. You know, 20 years ago, I swore I would never eat another ham and cheese with mayo because it would preserve the ham a little bit. From eating nasty foods, like we would be in other countries, and that's, you want to talk about moving outside your comfort zone. Sometimes you would sit with a family that literally spent what little savings they had just to provide you with a meal. And it's the grossest thing you've ever eaten. I mean, so I wasn't on this trip, but one of the guys had to do sheep brains. And this family had literally spent all their money to honor their guest with sheep brains. So he had to eat the sheep brains. And guess what? He found out he could do more than he thought he could. From bug bites to operating on not great sleep to sleeping on stone. It was great because at a young age, I learned, okay, well, you really can do more than you think. And all of us here, I mean, this applies to every single person. You can do way more than you think. And that's an important starting point in stepping outside of your comfort zone. You can actually handle more pain than you think you can. Emotionally, physically, mentally. The problem is when the pain becomes, we don't learn how to manage it and move through it. And then it like debilitates and puts us in that avoidance loop. Let's talk about avoidance. There's big and small, right? When I was with the window company, I would do this really dumb thing as a rookie salesman that I would pride myself, part of the pitch was we don't do back-end charges, right? A lot of contractors will lowball a job just to get it, and then they hit you with all these charges down the line. And that was something we really lived by and stuck by. But sometimes you would get a job where you missed a window, or they wanted to change, or there was just something very uncomfortable where you had to call them and say, hey, we got to add $700 to this project. You know, and it truly wasn't a back-end charge. It was something like they didn't show me their upstairs window. And then homeowners, I don't know, I think I got a couple that were really rude about that. I remember one in particular, I won't say his name because I still remember, but he gave me the hardest time for a window I never saw that was up in their attic. And so I would do this thing where I would just not answer the question. I'd get the email sent over and I'd have an addendum or a change order, and I just didn't want to talk about the price. I was scared of the price, I was scared of raising the price, I was scared of stepping on the homeowner's toes. And it was totally irrational because I knew that moment of reckoning was coming. It was always coming. We can't order the job unless this gets addressed and gets fixed. It's not stick your head in the sand, it might go away. But I would avoid. And then next thing, the questions pile up. Michael sent me down. John, I don't know what your issue is. You've got 15 questions, Aaron has four. And he goes, granted, you are selling more jobs, but this is per capita way off. You've got to start knocking these out immediately. You know, it wasn't until I got in trouble. And even then, I would still like delay a day if I had to bear any bad news. And that avoidance was not healthy. It wasn't helpful to the homeowner. And this is something I'll be telling every rookie sales guy that ever comes into our company, like, don't avoid, like, hit that head on. Break through that pain, because you're doing a disservice to yourself as well as the homeowner now. And you're holding up the job. It took me a little while. So that's like a small example, right? I'll give you another sort of small to medium example. So I'm reading this book. It's talking about comfort zone, and I start patting myself on the back. I'm like, I'm pretty good at avoiding comfort zones overall. Like, I like to push myself and break through, and I'll jump off a 50-foot cliff. I will attempt a backflip on skis, you know, when it's terrifying, and not recklessly, but, you know, calculated risk. Like, I'll take those calculated risks. It has this exercise where, you know, what is your comfort zone? And you got to define that. And what pain are you avoiding? Because we all do this. What fear holds you back? I got thinking, I was like, oh my God, I've been doing this. I've been doing this with music. I had to address it, call it, name it. And literally last week, I'm changing my mode on music. So here's what that looks like. I've hit the pain head on in music and done a good job and put myself out there and done shows. And, you know, I remember, in fact, the first show we did, I was so afraid, it was so uncomfortable that I didn't want to do it in a venue. So we asked someone if we could perform in their yard because I didn't trust the process. You know, I was terrified to, like, I'd never worked with a sound engineer. And so we went and rented our own gear. And at least we did that. You know, that was a good first step, but that was an avoidance measure because we could have booked the Melody Inn easily. You know, that's a great place where new artists cut their teeth and they'll let you do it as long as you don't totally suck. And so, but I was too scared to do that actually. So that's why our first show was a yard show. And it gave me, I was like, okay, we can do this. And then we played the Mel, and then we played other venues and had successes and fell on our face and had, you know, so I moved. What was cool though was that was a good example of like moving through the pain, even if it might have been indirect. And then shows, I probably avoided and for sure screwed this up. I avoided doing shows maybe as frequently as we should have, because my biggest fear was not having anybody show up. And so when I was reading this book, I realized too, you know what? Part of the reason I haven't put more music out, because I'm sitting on a lot of songs that are close to finished, 90% finished. And part of the reason is a fear of what if I put all this work in and my heart and soul in and no one listens to it. So I for sure don't care if you don't like it. Like, if you want to make fun of my music, great. Like, that, I've moved through that pain. That's not a fear for me anymore. I'm for sure afraid, like, what if just no one hears it? That's the worst. You know, I think as an artist, like, you're not typically making your art to have it showcased in a closet. And sometimes we get in this avoidance loop, and they talk about this, where out of virtue, you create this virtuous reason for why you're not putting yourself out there. So for us, it was like, well, we're getting better. We're trying to perfect our craft. Our music isn't good enough, which arguably, sure, it's not, but that's not a reason to not put it out there, right? Like, do it, finish it, put it out into the world, and then move to the next. And if no one hears it, get better, like address that pain. But do you see how just that silly, tiny little fear has kept us small? It's kept us in a smaller world than we should be. This can happen in just every area of your life. I mean, I think this happened with me with fitness for a while. It's like, what if I don't get fit to where I want to be fast enough, where I put all this time in? This happens with business decisions, where it's just easy to be afraid or not want to deal with the pain of customer rejection. I mean, if you're a sales guy, and this is something we learned early at Apex, was like, yeah, you're gonna get hit hard. You're gonna have people be so rude. That's one of the things I really love about hitting doors, you know, is you get rejection, just bam, pow. You gotta run to it. And the people that really ran towards it, always, they broke through that other side. They discovered this world of endless possibility. You know, suddenly you're a $100 million company, all because we were running towards that pain of rejection. We ran towards the pain of the office critiquing the pitch. I still love that. Whole office listens to the pitch, votes thumbs up, thumbs down. You're either good enough or you're not. That's a painful, terrifying prospect for so many people that come in. Usually the first time they get so nervous and worked up because of the pain, because of the fear, they can't even get the pitch out. So we fail them and have them come back do it next week. But addressing that pain head on of the office critiquing you allowed people to break through the other side and have their pitch was great and move to this world of endless possibility where they had 23-year-old kids selling huge projects to doctors and lawyers. And I mean, I remember I was in a doctor's house when I was probably 23. And he looks at me and he goes, well, I don't know, John, you're the expert. What do you think I should do here? It's a great moment. There's an interesting principle that he talks about. One, you can't think through this. Like, you do have to take action. Actually, before we get there, let me back up. There's a couple quotes out of this book I want to read. One, he says, if you can't tolerate pain, you can't be fully alive. If you can't tolerate pain, you can't be fully alive, because you won't get to the other side where that fulfillment and that just, you feel fully awake. Every nerve and neuron is firing. And then he talks about the comfort zone. We're held there by the classic modern weakness, the need for immediate gratification. The comfort zone makes us feel good in the moment. Who cares what the future penalty will be, but the penalty does come, bringing with it the worst pain of all, the knowledge that you've wasted your life. I've definitely, for the first one that pops up in my head for me is alcohol. You know, I have definitely gone to the immediate gratification, the comfort zone that alcohol creates, and not caring at all what the future penalty will be. And not even waking up hungover, just not waking up 2 hours before I should have. I was talking with another entrepreneur about this last week, and it's like, granted, I had drinks last night, so I'm not saying, I'm not trying to be legalistic about this, but you know, he doesn't hardly drink at all anymore. And he said, I told him, I said, yeah, I'm getting to this place where I feel like it takes more than it gives, you know? And he goes, oh, absolutely, you know? And this was, his father was an alcoholic, just passed 2 weeks ago directly from it. But it's a comfort zone thing. It's a way for me to avoid past pain, current stress, the weight of all of it. You know, I think that's why, like, we used to joke Apex has a drinking problem. I mean, that was kind of a running joke, right? Why? Because being in sales is crazy stressful. Crazy stressful. So what do? Well, you at the end of that sales day and you're emotionally exhausted. You do 4 or 5 pitches in a row. You've put all that emotion, all that energy in. So the comfort zone move is have some drinks. And it keeps your world small. because you don't wake up the next day with that buzz of life. That clean blood running through you going, what can we do today? What mountains can we conquer today? I'm really not trying to harp on alcohol here. But when I read this, you know, that need for immediate gratification, social media is the same exact thing, right? And it takes more than it gives most of the time. Where we scroll, 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 and suddenly we don't know where that 45 minutes went. And what did we get versus what it gave? You know, and that's the future penalty. It's the worst pain of all. We've wasted that time. Wasted that moment with our kids. Wasted that moment that we could have been practicing guitar and developing a skill that would then later allow us to have the gratification, the joy of rocking out with some other musicians and them looking at you nodding their heads. Yeah, that's in the groove, right? They talk about the higher force, which is forward motion. And they say a few rare individuals refuse to live limited lives. Man, write that phrase down. Refuse to live a limited life. So here's the tools, right? Here's how we're going to break out of the comfort zone. Refuse to live a limited life. A sense of purpose doesn't come from thinking about it. It comes from taking action that moves you towards the future. Man, I wish someone had told me that when I was in my 20s. Because that was all the rage. Like, I can't find my purpose. In fact, Coastal wrote a song about that that we'll probably release. Where Dustin just, the opening line, he's like, purpose, what the F is my purpose? And I need someone to give meaning. But I love this. A sense of purpose doesn't come from thinking about it. It comes from taking action that moves you forward toward the future. Moves you toward the future. So they call this the force of forward motion. Now here's what's crazy to me. I've been wondering, why do all these doors keep opening for Lock and Ladder? Why is it like going so well out of the gate? We've been taking massive action. It's that forward motion. And they started to explain, they said, when you start a path forward and you push through the pain and doors will open, you'll meet people that you just, it doesn't make sense. Why am I meeting this person and this person and this person is helping me over here? And it's interesting because Jonathan took a huge risk, right? Comfort zone, stay at your old company, keep doing what you're doing, keep selling, make a good income, pretty much guaranteed leads all the time, good pipeline. Had to turn in his cell phone, which was a pipeline of consistent leads, and step out on a company that, you know, had just come up with a name, didn't exist, wasn't formally an LLC. Okay, yeah, we're going to do this. And look at what's happened. We've sold a bunch of jobs. We've got a cool website. We've got homeowners that are talking about us. I ran into a dad at the soccer game yesterday, and he goes, hey, how's the Lock and Ladder going? Knew the name of the company. I mean, dude, that never happened to me at APA. They'd be like, what's the name of your company again? The window, you know. Knew the name of it. We've got some cool social media traction. We've got a distinct mission and purpose. We have allies that don't even make sense to me still that have chosen to align themselves. That forward motion, when you start on that path of forward motion, you start to, your purpose starts to get more clearly defined. They talk about one of the tools of getting out of your comfort zone is, they call it the reversal of desire. And they talk about how to move relentlessly through the universe with a sense of purpose. So they say you need to move relentlessly forward in your own life. They said, but doing that is not so easy because by now you know we avoid the pain of forward motion at all costs. So go right for the pain. So the way they talk about the reversal of desires, they talk about this sort of bring it on. So step number one, you silently scream, bring it on. I got really excited when I read that because our theme music for the podcast starts out going, bring it on all day, bring it on all day. feel an intense desire for the pain. Now, again, this is not in a masochistic sort of way. This is in a way where it's like we're going to desire that pain because we know moving through it. So scream silently, I love pain. Bring it on, I love pain. And then number three, pain sets me free. They said just saying these three phrases will help you. And these are coming from two clinical psychologists who have helped thousands and thousands of people over the course of like 40 some years with these tools. Bring it on, I love pain, pain sets me free. The benefit of this is turning pain into power, which I'm not gonna get totally into today. But that forward motion, so 20th century Scottish explorer W.H. Murray described it. The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves to raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance which no man could have dreamt would come his way. Forward motion puts you in sync with the greater movement of the universe. And when you get in sync with that, that's where you start to really have all sorts of possibilities open up. The pain shrinks, you develop resilience, you develop almost a superpower of being able to move forward. And then there's one more trick to this. They said, give up the illusion of future certainty. Give up the illusion of future certainty. This frees you up to focus on the present. So the first step is to learn to experience fear without the mental image of the dreaded future event. So experience the fear without the mental image of the dreaded future event. So if it's fear of speaking, right? Maybe it's fear of public speaking. You don't want to do that. You don't want to get up in front of a crowd and speak. So don't imagine the fear, don't imagine the future event, the certain outcome of you bombing on stage, right? It says just be present with that fear. What am I feeling right now? Focus your awareness on how the fear feels in the present. When you've separated fear from what you're afraid of in the future, it becomes just another kind of pain you process. So then you're like, bring on the pain. I love it. Pain sets me free. And as you stay more present, which is tough, right? It's an active process. And you can apply this to every area of your life that you want to improve in. So take some time this week. What is your comfort zone right now? Like, sit with these questions. What is the pain that you're avoiding? What fear holds you back? And then apply those tools. Go, no, you know what? I love the pain. Guys in the gym do this. They get in the gym and they're like, I love the pain, right? And you're literally tearing your muscles. I love it. Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's hilarious. He's like, talks about how he would smile as he's doing it, and they're like, why are you smiling? Because he's obviously just pushing himself to the max. He's like, because I know each rep is bringing it closer to my goal. and then he goes, and then I get that pump and I feel like my arms are coming. But that's a guy who like pushed through all of, you know, all the pain, all the fear, all the sacrifice, all the, you know, I mean, the pain he had to endure getting up at 4 a.m. and sneaking his workouts in and eating potatoes. You know, he did stuff that everybody told him he couldn't do, including act, you know, and become a huge A-list star. I mean, that's a guy who definitely got to experience some full life, right? Some endless possibility. And we can do that. We're going to do that. We're going to do that as a company. So last thing I'll say, like, all those fears are real and valid and fine. So what are we gonna do? I'm afraid that we won't figure out the lead generation and be able to keep our sales team healthy and fed and running deals right and left. That's a very real fear. This like keeps me up at night. Like one of my biggest stressors is how do I keep the sales guys happy once we start hiring? I know we can train them. And we've solved the branding where I think they're going to feel really cool and really good about what we're doing. And we have the products that I think they'll really believe in. I don't want to be one of those contractors, oh, how'd you get all them leads? But the fear, because we're moving away from what I've known, there's a ton of stuff we're going to step into that I just don't know. That fear could manifest in negative ways that hold the whole company back. And I'm going, nope, bring it on. I love the pain. And that what that pain is going to look like is I'm probably going to spend too much on one campaign time, right? I'm afraid of spending too much time on things because that time is just getting so valuable to me. But I'm going to spend the time, and I'm going to fail, and I'm going to learn something. And then we're going to apply that to the next, and I'm going to push through the pain of the research and the time we need to put in. And I love the Jim Rohn, if they can do it, we can do it. If anybody else can be successful at anything, so can we. And we will figure that out. We will master that. And at some point, it might be 2 or 3 or 5 years from now, we'll be better at it than anybody else. We will be sharper, smarter, more focused, have done more research because we went through the pain. We went right at the pain. And the other side is a world of endless possibilities. The other side is we will be a $100 million company. I love that Charles and I were talking last week. You have not talked like this before. And you go, John, I think 100 million's low. At first he was like, well, yeah, I mean, let's focus on, you know, let's get to 5 million first. I'm like, no, we're going to be a $100 million company. And he goes, dead serious. He goes, I think it's low. He goes, obviously, it's a lot of work to get there, right? But I think it's low. And I'm starting to discover there's just endless possibilities in this space. And I think our sense of purpose is going to get more and more and more refined as we take action. And as we address these fears, and as we blow through these fears, and the other side, endless possibility. So what is your fear? What's your comfort zone? What do you feel like is holding you back? And how are you going to address it? I want to encourage you to tackle it head on. Create some forward motion because exciting things are on the other side that are going to happen for you. Just watch. In fact, as they do, let me know. I'll be so excited to hear. And we'll see you next week on Improve This. Bring it on all day.